From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The wildfires across the Los Angeles area have dismantled a sense of normalcy for millions of Californians. At least 24 people have been killed and more are still missing. Thousands of homes and other structures have been destroyed, and that is expected to rise. These fires have also impacted places that are the heart of neighborhoods. More than 300 schools across five counties have been affected since the wildfires first ignited last week. That amounts to over 200,000 students. As of this morning, LAUSD, which is the second largest school district in the country, opened most of its campuses. However, school districts closer to the Palisades and Eaton fires remain closed. We're going to spend some time understanding how the state is assisting and helping public schools, as well as what the road to recovery could look like. Abel Guillen is the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction with the California Department of Education. We're also joined by Tim Taylor, who was the Butte County Superintendent during the 2017 Oroville spillway crisis and the 2018 campfire. He now works with school districts throughout the country in dealing with natural disasters. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Deputy Superintendent Guillen, I want to start with you. Do you have an early idea of how many schools have been destroyed?
So while it's still early, we are at this point, we have about 9 school sites that have been damaged or destroyed. Understanding that school districts and local education agencies are still taking inventory of damages, and those are preliminary numbers at this time.
Do you expect that number to increase?
We do. We do expect that number to increase. So there are school districts throughout. There's also private schools that have been impacted that we don't have a good handle on yet. So we do expect that number to increase. We are asking our partners in the education world to help us take inventory of what the needs are so that the state can use the full force of government to make sure that we rebuild and get back to normalcy for our students.
This isn't the first wildfire that the State Department of Education has to go through to help guide school districts, but this area that we're talking about is highly condensed. Los Angeles County is home to 10 million people alone, and there's other counties near Los Angeles that were also impacted. Can you talk about the challenges as the State Department of Education in assisting wildfires that are home to one of the many school districts? LAUSD alone is home to 600,000 students. That's larger than the city of Sacramento.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Schools are the safest place a student can be. And so it's critical that we rebuild our schools and make sure that we stand them up, that they're strong, and that they continue to be resilient into the future. So we know that schools are the center of every single community in California, in Los Angeles, in all the impacted neighborhoods. And so what we try to do is provide the assistance and support that's needed for our school districts to rebuild and to make sure that we can get normalcy back to our students. California has different types of terrain. And so we recognize that there's challenges. That said, California is making huge investments to make sure that our communities are resilient and to make sure that we protect against natural disasters such as what we're seeing happening this week in Southern California.
Is it more complicated or challenging given how populated this area is?
Every community is different, and certainly communities that have mountainous terrain, for example, that are highly vegetated, do have issues. And so that is a challenge that we have to work through. But we have, again, the resources and tools at our disposal to make sure that we respond accordingly and make sure that we build back stronger and make sure that our students have a safe place to go to school and learn and thrive.
Some campuses did open. LAUSD announced that most of their campuses will open today. The same goes for Santa Monica as well. What goes into the decision to reopen? Because there's currently a red flag warning for much of Los Angeles and Ventura counties.
Yeah, so every school district needs to decide what is in the best interest of their students and families. And so when school districts are making those evaluations, they take into consideration the safety of their students, whether or not they're going to have the staffing available, for example, to make sure that the students are well taken care of. And so every district makes that decision. Today, Pasadena Unified School District continues to be closed, for example. They have about 1,400 educators that have been directly impacted by the fires, as well as live in the evacuation zone. So they're dealing with their own challenges. And so they made the local decision to make sure that they take care of their students and staff and make sure that they close schools so they can get back to meeting their individual needs before school can reopen. Over in Santa Monica, Malibu Unified School District, we understand the schools in Malibu proper are actually closed, but schools outside of Malibu continue to open and operate and serve families.
As you mentioned, many families, and that includes teachers, school staff, students, have lost their homes. What is your role with the Department of Education in helping them get back on their feet?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So our role is largely to tap into the resources of state government and to reach out to partners. Just this morning, I'm very happy, like late last night, we were on the phone with one of our educational partners, Airbnb. Airbnb has agreed to provide housing for Pasadena Unified School District. We secured 1,300 units to help make sure that our educators have a place to go with their families, even their pets, to make sure that they can recover so that they can come back to school and take care of our students. So we're very thankful for the partnership between Cal OES, Airbnb, and the California Department of Education in leveraging those resources. We've also reached out to HP, for example. We know that some students have lost their devices, and so we're trying to secure the things that they need to make sure that students can learn wherever they may be at this time.
For the schools that have been destroyed, where will those students go? Not to mention not only those students, but also teachers and staff that need jobs.
No, absolutely. And so one of the things that Governor Newsom just put out this morning was an executive order to allow for schooling to take place in temporary facilities. We are also in the process of coordinating with other neighboring school districts that may have space on their campuses to make sure that continuity of instruction happens. So, you know, there may be the case where we have school in a library, a community center, or another location that isn't a traditional place, but the actions that the governor and superintendent Tony Thurmond took is to make sure that we give the flexibility to our school sites so that they continue to provide instruction to our students while we rebuild and find permanent solutions to rebuilding and replacing these damaged schools.
Another issue, as some school districts are opening up their campuses, others are remaining closed, at least for the coming days, is air quality, right? How does the state guide school districts in determining what, if any, outdoor activities are allowed as students are going to start returning to campuses and there are still wildfires going on?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, this is not new to us. We've learned from our experiences up in Santa Rosa, up in Butte County, and wildfires that have largely impacted the northern part of the state. Really, these wildfires happen all over the state. The CDE just actually, the department just released new guidance for our school districts on air quality. And so when air quality is unsafe, we provide guidance to our schools to make sure that they have activities and lunch and recess and those sorts of things indoors, for example. And so that guidance is up on our website at cde.ca.gov. And it's a great resource for our schools. One of the things that we actually took action on also is waiving the requirement that school districts have to have a certain amount of PE minutes. We know that it's unhealthy for students to be outside, and a PE largely takes place outdoors. And so we're waiving that requirement, for example, to have a certain number of PE minutes. And we're looking at whatever other flexibilities we can take to make sure that our schools can recover properly.
And it's not only outdoor activities. Some of these schools are They're older buildings. What confidence do you have that the ventilation is adequate for instruction, even if it is indoors?
We definitely need to make sure that our air filters are replaced. We know that stuff gets sucked in through air filters. So we are working with our education partners and our offices of education to make sure that they do thorough reviews to make sure that the internal and indoor environment is safe and healthy for our schools. We've been through this largely through COVID and through other wild disasters. So we do have a lot of information to lean on to provide that sort of expertise and support for our schools to make sure that not only our students, but our educators and our classified staff, that they all have a healthy environment to return to.
Does the Department of Ed also assist private schools, or is it only public schools?
We are charged with the public schools, but we certainly collaborate with our private schools in terms of gathering information, in terms of impact. Look, this disaster happened to all of California. Fire doesn't care where it burns. It doesn't matter where you live, what type of school you go to. And so our job at the state is to make sure that all our communities have the resources that they need to be able to rebuild and to be able to rise from this challenge. While we're still in the middle of the emergency responding, we will be providing resources to everyone that needs it. It may be that some of our public schools need to maybe have classrooms at neighboring schools that are private, that happen to be private. And so that's what we care about. We care about collaboration and making sure that we get through this emergency together and make sure that we continue instruction for our most impacted families and kids.
Finally, public schools in your department are tied to state funding. Last year's budget was in the red in the tens of billions of dollars. We now have a projected budget that was released by the governor's office last week. It's believed to be roughly balanced, but we won't know for months from now. And even tax filings because of these wildfires are going to be delayed as well, which creates more uncertainty when it comes to money. How does state funding impact your department's ability to adequately respond and help school districts? Because all of this is tied to state funding and public funding.
It is. Well, we're thankful to the legislature because of the Superintendent Thurman's support. We were able to stand up our office. We have a small team actually at the Department of Education, our emergency services team. It's a small shop. We have about two or three people that staff it, and they have responsibility for emergency management for the entire state. That team really provides us the opportunity, dedicated resources to make sure that we can be a voice to the Cal Office of Emergency Services, as well as FEMA, to really lift up the needs of schools and students to make sure that they get the resources that they need. We think that this budget year, it is projected to be a balanced budget. We're grateful that Prop 98 isn't getting much of a haircut. And so we are confident that we'll have the resources.
And what does Prop 98 do?
Oh, Prop 98, sorry. It guarantees a minimum level of funding for our schools. So we're hopeful that that will stay intact. I know we've gotten several questions about what happens when kids don't go to school. Largely funding is based on attendance and schools are closed. So what happens? So one of the things that we're actually looking at right now is making sure that our school districts will remain harmless from any reductions in attendance that they may have, any penalties that they may face. That's one of the actions that we're taking to be able to streamline to make sure our districts are held harmless because of this disaster that's no fault of their own.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Deputy Superintendent Abel Guillen with the California Department of Education about the wildfires across the Los Angeles area and how it's impacting schools. I now want to bring in Tim Taylor. He is an education consultant who helps school districts during natural disasters. Good afternoon.
Hey, Vicki, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the time. You were the Butte County Superintendent during the 2018 Camp Fire, which is the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history. You have lived through something like this. Can you take us back to that time for a moment and help us understand the monumental lift that schools are facing right now?
Yeah, I think what jumps out when a disaster of this magnitude comes is you're still in the recovery stage, so the fires are still burning, right? So the key is to keep everyone safe and get back to a healthy environment. And what I learned was districts have to really take care of their own staff, teachers who lost things or have dealt with this trauma. We struggle to have victims teaching victims, right? So we made sure the teachers got extra support with their mental health, same with the office staff and everyone else, because that's overwhelming. And then I think the other thing you realize is in the three stages, you have the restore stage comes up next after the fires are put out. That's very intense on all the people supporting the schools. It's not like magic, you just come back. And then the hardest part is the rebuild. That's going to last about 10 years. I know they're talking about trying to build right away, but that's going to last. We're already on year 6 at the campfire, and they're only got maybe a third of their town rebuilt so far. So it's a long, long journey. I will say this. I can't agree more with the Department of Ed. The number one, kids need to see their teacher, right? So if we get them back with their teacher, they feel comfort and secure. That's a very important part of a kid's initial stage of mental health when they see all this trauma. And so they will hustle. Everyone's going to hustle to get teachers back with their kids. Because that, to me, Vicki, was the most important thing. When those children got to see their teacher again, especially the youngsters, but even the high school kids, they love to get back to their comfort of their school.
Yeah, I mean, what you're underscoring is schools are so much more than a classroom. I was at Paradise High when they had their first football game, and it was just epic. It was palpable. You can just see what campuses and what schools mean, not only for children and teachers and staff, but for the community at large. You also bring up the real reality that Paradise and the surrounding communities, they're still rebuilding in year 6 following the campfire. How do schools prepare for the trauma that the staff and students that they're going to face for months and years to come?
Well, unfortunately, we have a ton of experience, right? I think since the Sonoma fire, that's been about 7-8 years that Tony Thurman and all of his wonderful staff have had to deal with this. So we have a lot of playbooks and manuals. Chico State put out a really good one on mental health for families, students, or a wildfire. I'll email that to you, Vicki. It's really a great thing for everybody to read through. But we have a ton of resources. If you go to the Department of Ed's website, they got a ton. So we have a lot because we've had so many things happen. I will reemphasize, you are right, though. This is a large urban area. And what we learned from the campfire, there's a lot of toxins in there. You know, there's the firemen were saying it's a different air. It's not a forest fire. It's a city fire. And it has a lot more poisonous toxins and everything. And there are methods, as CD pointed out, you don't open up a school without checking your air filter systems and everything. And there's a ton of people do that. The larger districts have their own director of maintenance that will go through to clear that. So no one goes back into, without that check being made. Again, we have a lot of experience. Other county offices are helping LA County to walk through those things. So that's really important to make sure the kids are going back to a safe environment.
You now work with school districts across the country about dealing with natural disasters, not only wildfires, of course, there's other ones as well. Has demand for this type of consulting, has it grown over the years?
Tremendously, I think. And the magnitude is a lot higher. You know, I think, we didn't see these fires that lasted. I think the one up in Plumas lasted almost 3 months.
The Dixie fire?
Yeah. And you're seeing much more, flooding, earthquakes, tornadoes. And districts are not equipped. I saw a great piece on mental health where first responders go through intense training to deal with this. That's not what we do in education. So it really does cause a lot of tension and stress for the schools. It's a very stressful thing. And in some cases, it takes the number of years it takes to recover can pretty much wipe out a community. They just start to give up. And it's important to go give them some help and tell them to stay positive and use the resources out there.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tim Taylor was the Butte County Superintendent during the 2017 Oroville spillway crisis and the 2018 campfire. He now works with school districts throughout the country in dealing with natural disasters. We were also joined by Abel Guillen, the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instructions with the California Department of Education, and we were discussing how the state is helping schools impacted by wildfires across the Los Angeles area. Up next, it is a new year, and we are spending some time on Insight, meeting some of the fresh faces spaces at the California legislature. I'll sit down with San Joaquin Valley's newest representative, Assemblymember Rhodesia Ransom. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.